escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
Good morning, and welcome to What's at Stake, and especially a great morning to the WPFW family. My name is Reverend Mark Thompson, Matsumela Mapfumo, and this is my maiden voyage hosting What's at Stake. Here, we'll be doing this once a month, as there's this round robin of hosts on the show. Our executive producer, Verna Avery Brown, is still very much present and in charge, and we're thankful to her for this opportunity. It is a blessing to be back in the Washington, D.C. market. As some of you may recall, this was my home for 25 years on the radio in Washington, D.C., and we'll get into that during the course of our conversation. It is a true blessing and a pleasure. I grew up listening to WPFW First, the Bama, back in the day, every Sunday morning. Amen. So we are going to have a very special guest here with us right now. Some of you probably saw and heard on social media excerpts from the homegoing celebration for the legendary Roberta Flack Monday, and probably the most viral moment, the most viral video that was shared was Lauryn Hill's performance. But we're going to talk to someone who knew Roberta Flack intimately, was a protege of hers, sang in her background as well. She was her background singer, and she spoke at the funeral and shared some of the most eloquent words during the entire ceremony. She is none other than my big sister, the daughter of the Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, and Jacqueline Jackson. Santita Jackson joins us from Chicago. Santita, good morning. Welcome to What's at Stake. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. You remember, I also host radio and produce radio and TV and all of that.
Yes.
And Miss Flack was always so encouraging of every single gift. You know, we're fellow Howardites, Alpha Chapter Deltas, and all of those things. But I've known her since I was five. And so it was an honor for Suzanne Koga and Joni Martin, who were more than her management team. They really were family to her, and they ensured that she lived her years as she really, you know, had health challenges. She lived with dignity. Mm-hmm. And every time you saw her, she looked beautiful. You could tell that she was loved and cared for, and I had to acknowledge that in my remarks, because, you know, many people, I remember when my grandmother Gertrude, my mother's mother, when she was declining and when she went into hospice in Howard Hospital, they were so kind because they did not let her go to a home. They said, no, well, we know she's going. She can stay here. Such is our relationship with Howard. But I went there and we just have a wonderful relationship with them. And they said, you know, we were there every day, and my father was flying in and out from wherever he was in the world. He was flying in and out, and we were there literally every day. And they said, you know, we're shocked because we don't generally see people until they've expired. And what this family of musicians did, we would go and sing with her or sing for her and play for her, because with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, your mind is there, it's sharp, but your body, you can't move. And, but she would blink her eyes, she would squeeze your hand, she would let you know that she heard you. And then I'd say, okay, do you want me to sing I Told Jesus? Squeeze your hand twice, or squeeze it real hard. Oh, okay. So So, you know, please. I think I sang everything she's ever done. It was just a wonderful, experience.
Of course, she is the host of the Santita Jackson Show. We'll be letting you all know how and where you can see her, how you can hear her. 5 years old, Santita. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, she was very active in the civil rights movement. You know, it's an interesting thing. Many women artists, like the Nina Simones, like the Miriam Makeba's, and even Aretha Franklin, do not get the credit. And in particularly in Miss Flack and Miss Moan and Miss Franklin's cases, they don't get the credit for being self-produced artists. You know, the production team at Atlantic did not know what to do with Aretha Franklin because she had to work out the arrangements. She just never got credit on her albums. Miss Flack was, because she had a classical background and was so, it was very clear that she was university trained. And when she met Ahmet Erdogan, she just played for several hours. They just put her in the studio and let her do her thing. Now, he was the executive producer, but she was self-produced. But what she also had was this incredible trove of protest songs. She sang a song in Spanish about interracial love, Angelitos Negros. She go down Moses. There's so much that she did. Everything that she did was socially relevant, and she was able to take that and without changing herself at all. Mm. And she took it into the popular realm. I mean, her album, First Take, where we had First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, had been out for a couple of years, but she was so popular in Washington that Mr. Henry's had to build a room for her. And so people came through Washington, and my father among them, my mother, people, the movement, people came through Washington. Everybody heard that she had to go hear this teacher.
Yeah.
From Banneker High School, had this, that she was this incredible artist. And Les McCann, of course, championed her, as did Eddie Harris and all of the great cats, if you will, in jazz, in the world of music. When you came to Washington, you had to go to see her.
Yeah.
And she was already active in the movement. And so that's how I met her. So before she became the superstar, she would come to Breadbasket when she'd come through Chicago, and she would play, you know, because eventually, as you know, our next door neighbor growing up was Ramsey Lewis and his wife, Jerry, and their seven kids. And so she was, it was a great thing. She bought me a Steinway when I was eight, but she would go and they would come over and play at the house.
Mm.
You know, but this is before she had this hit that Clint Eastwood heard and was so mesmerized by. She didn't want him to use it in the movie. She said, you know, it's too long, because Miss Flack played what she wanted to play and that was it. Right. And she did what she wanted to do. And she said, I think it's too long. You know, it's not 2.5 minutes like these hits were.
Right.
And he said, no, I just want to take it as is. Please let me do it. She said, well, she prayed about it. And she said, okay. And there you have it.
She gifted you a Steinway when you were 8 years old?
Yeah, she felt, you know, she was a teacher at heart. And I don't know, maybe it was my speaking voice. It was something that she, and in fact, you know, the great organist, Jimmy Smith,
yes,
his wife, Joy, used to come and stay with us a lot. And they told my parents then that, you know, you need to get her, she told her, told my mother and father, you need to get her voice lessons. She's got a voice, you can hear it in her speaking voice. And Miss Flack felt that way too. Plus, you know, she also knew that I was also academically inclined. And there was a time when we were children when a part of your education had to be the musical education, because music is really oral math. You know, the chords are, you know, in first, thirds, and fifths. And then when you augment them, you raise them to sevenths and fifths to sevenths and sevenths to ninths and things like that. I mean, it really it's math, but it works both sides of the brain. It brings them together. And I think that's one of the things that doctors said really helped to save her, that she was both sides of her brain were very engaged to one another. And so, I mean, and that's why, you know, getting music education back in our schools is so important. I mean, a rigorous music education. When you Mormons, in fact, they tested in Utah, they needed to test the impact of music education on the populace. They had to leave the state because at the core of the Mormon religion is music education. In fact, every member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, because you know, I recorded an album with a Chris Willis under the guidance of Senator Orrin Hatch, who was a great songwriter. They had to leave the state because 95%+ of the state had a solid music education. If you, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, you got to have a master's before you can audition. So, and that's, and so Miss Flack was in that tradition. And she was very, very keen on education. Even when I went to work for her, because I decided not to go to medical school, she said, okay, let me hear. And, you know, my father said, she's going to be very honest with you because, you know, she loves you. And if she doesn't think that you can cut it, he will tell you and, you know, and accept what she says and make your judgment from there. I would advise you to follow her instructions. And, you know, when she heard me, she said, okay, had no idea that you could sing like this. Now, when you, you got to move here to New York, and what you need to do, we have to now start studying. So her teacher, Joan Later, who was sitting behind me, she took me to her the next day. And so I started studying with her and started studying with people from Manhattan School of Music and Juilliard and all of that, because that was something that you needed to do if you were going to work for her. Because she would give you music cold. Now, either you have a very trained ear, which is, you know, our, you know, people, a lot of us play by ear. That's very difficult. And it requires a gift and training. But she really wanted you to be musically literate. She really, you know, she was a teacher. My father said, you know, she's a, you know, she was working on her PhD dissertation when she was discovered and got her big break in the music business.
Yeah. And we can see and hear the depth of her knowledge and training in the music. If you mm-hmm. listen carefully, you can even see and you can hear the classical training. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, both she and Donny Hathaway, she was a few years older than him, mm-hmm. but they went to Howard to learn classical, to be trained classically.
Yeah.
And then look what happened. Now, as a matter of fact.
Well, they blended it.
Yes. All.
See, they never abandoned that. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear, as I've heard, you don't sound black enough. She said, no. You're black. You sound as you do, because Orrin Hatch said the same thing to me. He said, you don't sound like you said, he said, you have a sound that's going to take you over in this direction. And the album that I did really worked in that, you know, it was an inspirational album, people would say. And so she encouraged that. She said, no, just, and she appreciated and understood where everybody was. But if you listen to Richard Smallwood, who she taught, and you hear total praise, you hear her. You hear the gospel, you hear the classical, not just classical elements, you hear the foundation. What you get with European classical training and what you get with training are the options. That's what education gives you. It gives you, you can then pick and choose. And on the day, for example, that your voice is not quite there, and when you're on the road and people fly you in around the country and around the world, they don't want to hear that you're not well. Because you have to figure out how to sing, you figure out vocal placement and where to put that voice. And all of those things she taught me and more. And then I worked in her office because she said, I know you understand this, but I want you to understand the business. understand this, because she had, and she went to Black lawyers, and her one of her first big lawyers was one of the biggest Black lawyers of the day. He handled Richard Pryor, all the big Black acts. And she had a really tough experience because she lost a lot of money, but she never lost faith in Black people. Ultimately, the lawyer became Londell McMillan, of course, who became famous for freeing Prince from his contract. But she invested in Black people while embracing everybody.
She took, I was marveling at the video that began the service. She continued to work with her voice teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Always. I guess until she couldn't anymore. And not being anywhere in any respect, the trained vocalist you are. You know, I tease Santita because I try to get her to sing with me. We'll be at public events. And I'll say, come on, sing Santita. And she does not move. She stays in her seat.
I do what you tell me to do. And you ask me to come and see you, and I'm going to come and do that. So, you know.
But for Roberta Flack to still work with her vocal teacher, her voice teacher, even into her diagnosis, watching that on video, mm-hmm. was something else.
Well, but that is what you do. I mean, athletes never stop going to the gym.
Yeah.
And she was a vocal athlete. And so, I mean, my father, even with Parkinson's, kept going to the gym until he literally could not do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, because he was a Division I football player.
That's right.
You know, in college. And so in his training is to get up and go first thing in the morning to go to the gym. Hmm. And he said, you're not going to have the stamina to do the things that you need to do if your body is not in shape. And people say, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. The fact is the voice is a muscle, the vocal folds, and you have to continue to work them to keep them pliable. But as you study, you continue to hear different things in your voice. Your voice changes. You know, I go see Barbara Streisand every time she has a retirement concert. She and my father are dear friends. And it's one of my thrills because she and Miss Flack are like among my favorites of all time. And she sings duets with her 20-year-old self. Mm. Because at 70 and 80, the voice has deepened, given the kind of voice that she has. It's not that you don't have the range, it's the voice changes. When you listen to Sarah Vaughan, the voice changes. It got deeper, it got richer, because as an alto, as we would say in the parlance of the Black church, her voice matured later. The deeper the voice, the later the maturation. And Miss Flack really understood, because she was educated, she understood placement, and she understood where her voice needed to go at 40, at 50, at 60, at 70, because she toured right up until maybe about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Sita, I know you got to run. Lastly, in your own words, what is the enduring legacy of Roberta Flack?
Well, she said that she wanted it to be love.
Yes.
And I see your notes that are coming up. I think it will be love, and I think it will be loyalty. At the end of the day, she used her platform. She took this opportunity that she had, and she lifted up our people. She is the first artist in the history of the Grammys to win pop song of the year in consecutive years. And it never happened before, and it didn't happen again until U2 did it, almost 30 years later? No, more than 30 years later. No, it was about there, almost 30 years later. And so we have to understand just how big she became. And as I recounted on Monday, you know, I would see her on The Tonight Show. And I remember this particular appearance stood out to me. And she was talking about Molly and a tour that she and Stevie Wonder were going to take. Now, mind you, this is 1973. Mm-hmm. And she said, we're going to Africa. I'm going to Africa because they are in Mali looking at a famine, and if we can prevent it, we're going to do that. And Johnny Carson didn't know what to say, and you know, and he kept her. She sang. She got more time that night than anybody. She sang. That was a segment. Then she came and did her time on the sofa, on the couch. That was a segment, and then she went back and sang in the next segment. So, which was very unusual for Johnny Carson. And everyone has to remember Johnny Carson, that we didn't have all of the divisions in, you know, the last, when Mark and I, you know, when you and I were children, everybody watched three news shows.
Right.
And you wrapped up, America wrapped up by Johnny Carson, right? Yeah. And so for her to then to use that platform. And so I would just say also that, you know, she never forgot the least of these. She lifted as she climbed. And she was excellent.
Yeah.
And she continued to do that. She believed in education. She believed in the least of these. She believed in protecting all of God's creatures. She loved her animals. And particularly the ones who didn't have pedigree. With all of her degrees, the more downtrodden you were, the more of a champion you had in her. So I will miss her presence, but I know that she is at one with the Lord. And but I will always have the present and the gift of her life in my heart forever.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Folks, Santita and I on our shows, our regular shows, we our standard fare is usually politics. But I wanted to do this today because of the impact Roberta Flack had on all of us, even politically. You know, you can't serve the people if you don't love the people. And she taught us how to love. And truly, that is her gift and her legacy. God gave us the psalmist David, but he also gave us the psalmist Roberta Flack. Mm-hmm. Santita, let everyone know how they can hear and see the Santita Jackson Show.
Oh, you know, you can go to the Santita Jackson Show, the Santita Jackson Show YouTube channel. And I put my shows up every day. But I'm on AM. My home station is AM 950 radio. I'll make that easy for you. AM 950 radio, the progressive talk radio station for the state of Minnesota. And of course, we're on Keep Hope Alive radio on Sundays from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. I produce and host that show. It's on iHeart. It's on the iHeart network, and we're a nationally syndicated show. And of course, you are a regular guest whenever we get you when you're not preaching. And so I can't wait to have you on my show. And I'm really pleased that WPFW and Miss Verna have the wisdom to bring you back on the air, because you're someone we desperately need. You've been a great truth teller and really with prophetic insights. And you love people, and we love you, and we need you, Reverend Mark Thompson.
I thank you. I love you. And I'll tell you all, one of the most valuable things Santita has ever done for me in my life was introduce me to Roberta Flack. That's something I'll never forget. And she treats all, even in meeting me, she treated me like she had known me all my life. Mm-hmm. And really she had, because every morning when I first started school, I'll never forget, my mom was getting me ready to take me to school, and she played those 45s. On one side was You Got a Friend. On the other side was Where's the Love? And I heard her singing voice was probably one of the first singing voices I ever heard on a record player. And so hearing her voice now even and reminiscing about her takes me back to being a little boy in my mom's house. So God bless Roberta Flack. And Santita, God bless you, and God bless your faith. You were so faithful to her as really a daughter, a goddaughter of hers. And we thank you. And folks, her remarks, you can go back and watch the funeral, the memorial service. Santita's remarks were beautiful. And so I just want to thank you. And thank you for joining us on WPFW this morning, okay?
I love WPFW, and I love them because they have you.
We love you too, Santita.
And Julianne Malvo, my girl.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Santita.
Love you, Mark.
Love you too. Take care now. And give your parents my love too. Give them both a kiss for me.
I absolutely will, so my mother can say something and say, how did he do today? She's not going to care what I said.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Love you so much.
I love you, too. Take care now.
God bless you.
God bless you. Folks, Matsumela Mapfumo, Reverend Mark Thompson, back here in the D.C. market, back where I started in 1988. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to be joined now by the executive producer and regular host of What's at Stake. Let me try this, too, because there's a reason I wanted to start with during this first segment with music, because primarily I came to know and love WPFW as a music channel, and we still do the news and the politics and the community stuff, but it is a music channel, and we know there are a lot of Roberta Flack lovers on that listen to WPFW. I'm willing to bet there's some folk listening who saw her at Mr. Henry's. I'm willing to bet. And if you are one of those people, let's talk about that. Give us a call, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Also, your remembrances in general of Roberta Flack, how she may have touched and or changed your life. But as I said, Verna Avery Brown is here. She is executive producer and the regular host, and also here to supervise me today to make sure I don't muck nothing up here on WPFW for this first time. Verna, thank you for allowing me to do this today. I hope I'm doing okay.
Yes, indeed, Mark. You certainly are. We are just delighted. I'm not here to supervise you. I'm just here to lift you up. I'm going to do as Santita just told us that Roberta Flack did. She lifted as she climbed. That was such a very unique interview. It put a real face. We learned so much more about Roberta Flack, one of our hometown heroes, that we didn't know in that interview. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, that's an example, audience, listeners, of what Mark is going to bring to this team. He has access to individuals and people that will just bring so much richness and depth to this show. Reverend, this is the opportunity to really officially welcome you to What's at Stake. For those of you who don't know, it's Reverend Mark Thompson, a.k.a. Matsumela Mapfumo. He's a longtime political and civil rights activist. I'm sure his marching shoes are well-worn by now. He's an ordained minister. You have to tell us where we can hear you preach, Mark.
Well, it depends. I wherever I'm invited is where I go. In fact, I preached in D.C. just a few weeks ago for Man's Day at John Wesley Zion. I'm not sure the next time I'll preach in D.C., but I'll be sure to let you know so you can announce to the audience. But I usually on Sundays I'm visiting some church, and in the pulpit when they let me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
and so you also are the host of Make It Plain on Sirius XM Radio.
Actually, no longer on Sirius XM. Make It Plain is a podcast now.
Okay.
But folks, wherever you get your podcast, you can find Make It Plain.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. So we are just delighted to have you join us here on What's at Stake. Join our collective. Reverend Mark will be our host on the second Wednesday of every month. He's filling that seat that our beloved Reverend Graylin Hagler filled at one time. Reverend Hagler is doing a lot of print work nowadays. Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo is on the fourth Wednesday, and Professor Fahima Sekt is on the fifth Wednesday of the month. So that's our collective here. And we invite all your Make It Plain listeners to join us over here on WPFW. Yes. What's at Stake? You emceed the Million Man March, did you not?
I sure did. And that is 30 years ago this year, Verna. Even though I'm only 30, that happened 30 years ago. Isn't that amazing that I could have done that as an infant?
It is.
As an infant, I did MC the Million Man March.
You don't look a day over 30 either, I have to admit.
That's right.
So, and you've done countless television appearances, rallies, marches, lending your unique progressive perspective and prophetic voice as a leader. And I'm wondering, Mark, is this an easy time to be a leader, this moment in history that we are experiencing?
It's not an easy time to be a leader or a servant or just a regular everyday citizen. you know, and we'll talk about that. We're going to take a break in a minute, but you know, with all that's going on in the government, especially right there in Washington, D.C., Black Lives Matter Plaza was pulled up from the ground just the other day because of threats from the Trump administration. So, no, it's not an easy time at all. And frankly, we are embarking upon a new era of fascism, if you will. And D.C. is ground zero because it's taking place there. It is the nation's capital. Home rule is under threat, folks. Mm-hmm. Folks, you're listening to What's at Stake. We'll take a quick break and come right back. Here's the community calendar.
Peace. This is your social justice calendar for the week of March 10th, 2025. Wednesday, March 12th is Pan-African Community Action's next Asada Shakur study group session, addressing the topic, Power Not Influence, Countering Fascism in the Trump Era, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Black Workers and Wellness Center on 2500 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More info can be found on PACA social media, PACADMV. Also, on Wednesday, March 12th at noon, there will be a rally and march to save Medicaid organized by D.C. Jobs for Justice, starting at Columbus Circle in D.C. More info can be found on www.dcjwj.org. On Thursday, March 13th at 5:30 p.m., there's a community conversation at Cleveland Park Neighborhood Library, 3310 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. The D.C. Guaranteed Income Coalition will host a panel on how guaranteed income programs change the lives of D.C. area families and liberate people in poverty. RSVP at bit.ly/DCGIC Community Conversation. On Friday, March 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., there will be a discussion on transracial adoption, a conversation with Ethiopian international adoptees. It is located at Sankofa Video Books and Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. More info can be found on Sankofa.com. Sunday, March 16th is Black Press Sunday, 10 a.m. at the Metropolitan AME Church, 1518 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Join the Metropolitan Association of Black Journalists to celebrate the 198th anniversary of the Black Press and the 60th anniversary of the Washington Informer. The WPFW Social Justice Calendar connects you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. Submissions are due by Thursday at 5 p.m. at least 1 week in advance of your event. WPFW Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yeah. That's some good music right there. You know, I am, those of you may not know, Verna, I'm a jazz connoisseur. I have collected jazz, studied jazz all my life. And my start in radio was not actually in talk per se. It started at the other jazz station that used to exist at WPFW, WDCU. We welcome you back, by the way, to What's at Stake. In 1988, while a student at UDC, I became the production manager for WDCU Jazz 90. And I also engineered Ernest White's show, Crosstalk. Many of you remember Ernest White. And so in the mornings and to midday, I would do the news on the Kathy Hughes Morning Show at 6 a.m. And then at 9, I would be at WDCU producing the rest of the day. The rest of the day for the jazz broadcast. I even engineered the great Felix Grant show. But even before that, as a little boy, I wasn't living in Washington yet. I was living down south with my mother, but I would come to visit my father in Washington, and he introduced me to the Bama on Sunday morning. And that just further inundated and informed my music and jazz education. My grandmother had already taught me about some of the greats. But then to hear the Bama, that just augmented it. So I got a music thing, y'all. That's why I wanted to talk about Roberta Flack. And that's why WPFW always means so much to me. My jazz station is still WPFW and all the music that they play. And this is sacred music. This is the original music. This is the music that we invented as African people. It is one of the true original cultural contributions from America. Jazz, gospel, all of that comes from us. And so WPFW is
blues.
And blues. And so I'm thankful to be here on WPFW and thankful that you all would have me, Verna. And I know I think we got a couple of calls. Is that right, Michael?
Yes, indeed, we do. And I just wanted to say real quick before you go to your callers that, you know, it's difficult to separate jazz and politics. It seemed to go together hand in hand. The more we interview individuals, the more we find out that, you know, interview them as a musician and find out that they have a very deep and committed political life and right. contribution as well. So they kind of go hand in foot. But, you know, I'm going to turn the mic back on. This is your show today, Mark.
And feel free to stick around, you know, because you're amazing. And I'm all the work you've done over the years, your name has become synonymous with radio in Washington. And this WPFW has truly been itself a public service, a community service for decades. And because look, y'all, when the radio industry and corporate radio is taken over, everything becomes more of a national thing than a local thing. There are a few other places we can go and actually hear genuine local radio. You heard those announcements. That stuff that's happening right in D.C. You can't hear that on all these syndicated situations because they can't boil it down locally. So please, we ask you to continue to support WPFW. And Verna, feel free to stick around.
I'm gonna let you. I know you got this, Mark. So I'm just gonna sit quietly and listen.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. So let's get a call or two in. Michael, who we got? How do you do? You gonna bring him up? Okay, caller. God bless you. Welcome to What's at Stake.
Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are on the air. What's your name? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. What's your name?
Khadija.
Hi, Khadija. Welcome
How
to
are
What's
you?
At Stake. I'm fine.
Roberta Flack was my 8th grade teacher.
Oh.
I went to Rabeau Junior High School. It was the first year that the school opened. And wow. She was the music teacher, but she was also my homeroom teacher. I spent special time with her. Sometimes after school, I would sit at the piano with her and we would talk. What I really appreciated, in addition to the one-on-one time, was that she came back. She left our school after that first year and she went in the show business. She came back, did a special concert for us. And I remember her on the stage saying, "Where's my class from room 139? And all of us, yay! and I called her. I looked up her number in the phone book. And at the time she was in the phone book. And I called her, told her she did a great job. I said, but, you know, I hope you do well at the ripe age of, 13? I think I was 13 or 14. I was thinking, you know, show business is a really hard career to pursue. And you were nice and stable as a teacher. When I graduated, the year that I graduated from Howard University, she was receiving the honorary doctorate from Howard University, and she came and talked to our class. I was in the School of Fine Arts, and there actually were students from when she was their teacher, and that were also in the School of Fine Arts, and we all came and we sat and listened to her. Incredible woman. Yeah, absolutely incredible. I always appreciated how she treated me, and she had a firm hand on these DC students.
That's an incredible story. So you actually took music from her, didn't you?
I did, but I got kicked out of the choir the next year because I can't sing.
Well, but Roberta didn't kick you out, did she?
Exactly. No way. I think that she knew that every student had a special light, and whether it was in English, math, science, or whatever, she appreciated every student, in my opinion. And I know that some students probably had a harder time than others, but that's called, you know, that age in your life. When you're 12, 13, 14 years old, there's no easy path. For her to have been a teacher with that age group, and she, in my opinion, was successful, I think that she was very successful. She catered to us. I can remember specific things that she said that were impacting. And even on my class picture, I have her on the back. She signed my class picture. And again, motivational words. I went back to do better in school because she believed in me and knew that I could. She told me, try harder.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful story. And that's who she was. She touched so many people and as a teacher. So thank you, Khadijah, for your call, okay?
You have a good day, and God bless you.
God bless you. Long live Roberta Flack, y'all. Next caller then. Caller, God bless you. Welcome to What's at Stake.
Is that me?
That's you. What's your name, Doc?
My name is Robert Andrew Moses, and I was a friend of Roberta Flack. I'm 73 years old. I was a friend of Roberta Flack. I have many stories about her, but life is so short. And the past can only serve the present and the future. And I bear witness that there's one God, Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith, and that for government and mouth, sweet tongue is his messenger. Fathers, help your children. And Roberta Flack was a culture worker, and she served the people and served the revolution with her songs, with her inspiration for the people. And that's the most important thing to remember.
You said you were her friend. You were a friend of her.
Yes. Now, I remember the Mr. Henry's up in Capitol Hill. Jesse Jackson, Roberta Flack, and my sister Beverly Moses was her birthday, and they were serenading her. I met Roberta Flack through my mother-in-law, Rosamond Evans. She was my mentor, and I've gotten best of her, and she rests in peace. But I took Roberta Flack home to Holland Hills out there in Virginia, where she lived, and I don't know. There's many stories. She's a legend in her own time.
What impact did she have upon you, Robert?
She coined the song that for my wife that I eventually married. She was my girlfriend at the time, but I eventually married. The first time I ever saw your face.
Oh, is that right? So she sang that for your wife?
I said she coined that she captured the spirit of our relationship.
You know, what's interesting is that she so claimed that song, people think she actually wrote it. Not the original writer, but that's it's something when somebody else can write a song and others can record it, but then you claim it is all your own because other people have sung that song. But that is her song. Whatever, no matter what anybody says, nobody can touch that song. Nobody has ever been born. And no one's yet to be born who could sing that song the way she it'll never happen.
1.5 billion. You said you were into jazz. I took bass lessons from her husband, Steve Novosel, who was also with the Andrew White's band. I don't know if you know who Andrew White was. He was his keeper of the Coltrane.
Yes.
He was a friend of mine too.
All right. Are you still a musician, Robert?
No, I'm into blues, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. I'm into the roots of our people in terms of our culture and stuff. And I'm a revolutionary. Music it serves the revolution for me.
So can I tell you something before I let you go? You know, I was a jazz connoisseur from the time I was a teenager. The blues didn't take for me at first, because the blues requires a little more maturity. You got to live through a few things to really get it. Now that I'm my age, I am now. I get the blues now, doctor. I didn't get it at 13, but I get it now. so now, you got to go through some stuff to appreciate the blues.
The DEI, the Al Sharpton and them were protesting for that day of a boycott.
Yes. You know,
there's a blues song that I grew up on that is part of my life. Is I got a mind to give up living and go out shopping instead.
Wow. I've got to hear that. I've got to check that out, man. But thank you for calling, okay?
This is the roots of our people. You have to know your people.
Yes, that's right. We have to know it. We cannot forget our history and our struggle, because others aren't forgetting theirs. Folks want to go back to the past to promote their agenda, their culture. We must promote ours and defend ours. Our enemies certainly are. Thank you, Robert.
The last thing I want to say is Trump is trying to resurrect the South, and Netanyahu is trying to resurrect Israel.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for your call, okay? All right. Next caller then. Caller, you there?
Namaste, Brother Mark. This is Sister Fahima.
Hi, Fahima. How are you?
I'm doing good, my brother. And I just wanted to welcome you to the fold, because I, too, am part of the What's at Stake Collective, and our great leader, executive producer, Verna Avery Brown, as well as Dr. Marsha Coleman out of Bayou, and now Masamela Mafumo Mark Thompson. And I just want to just call to welcome you to the What's at Stake Collective, my brother. And I'm looking forward to the wonderful programming you will continue to bring to Pacifica Radio. I sent you a birthday greetings back in December. I think that's the last time we communicated, and I did hear you on with Dominique, something that I helped facilitate some time ago. And
yes.
I just called to show you love.
I appreciate that, and I thank you for the birthday greeting, Fahima, and I thank you for the welcome as well. Fahima, you've always been a consistent stalwart in our struggle and all the work we've done. Now, Fahima, you too young to know about Roberta Flack, aren't you?
Well, my parents played Roberta Flack when I was growing up, and I just was very proud to have graduated from the same alma mater that the Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway attended. But, you know, and of course, when I was on Howard's campus, we was rocking Lauryn Hill's rendition when she did the remake of, Roberta Flack's the first time, not the first time I saw your face, the other song. What was that song that was on the... Yes. And that was like a throwback and a reflection. But I was just proud to have attended and graduated from the same alma mater that the great Roberta Flack graduated from. And she will for always be part of our culture.
Well, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to see Lauren's performance at the funeral Monday. It went viral. It's on my social media.
Yes.
Those of you not seen it, you can go to Administer with two T's, M-I-N-I-S-T-T-R on Instagram, Administer, and see it. And it was so moved. There was not a dry eye in the church and in Abyssinian here in New York. And then people who've watched it have told me how they can't help but watch it with tears. Now, we only have one funeral, y'all. But that performance, that experience was so powerful and spiritual that if they were to do a repeat, like let's repeat Roberta Flack's funeral, everybody would go to a funeral a second time or a third time even to hear that Stevie Wonder performed and so many great performers. But to hear Lauryn Hill come and sing. She first sang First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Then she sang Killing Me Softly in Abyssinian Baptist Church, Fahima. So I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but it was an incredible performance.
Yes, it did go viral and people did share it. But anyway, I just wanted to, again, reiterate your welcome to the What's at Stake Collective. And I'm just happy to that you're part of the family officially. Peace and blessings.
And great to be a part of the family, Fahima. Thank you for having me.
Asante.
Asante Sana. 202-588-0893. We heard from a student of Roberta's Flax. We heard from a friend of Roberta Flax. If there are others who were touched by her, please share. And you're still looking for somebody who actually saw her in the flesh. Robert did, saw her in the flesh and Mr. Henry's. That was, people still, I know in D.C. still talk about that. That was an incredible experience from what I hear. I was too young to have seen that, but I know that was an incredible experience for many. I'm here, folks. What's at stake? This is the first time I have been one of the collective hosts on What's at Stake. And I will be here the second Wednesday of every month. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to a lot of great discussion. Verna, Avery Brown is back with us. And Verna had asked me about some of the challenges we're facing and how difficult it is or how easy or difficult it is. And I was saying earlier, I know we all know everything that's going on around us. We saw what happened with Black Lives Matter Plaza. And that is particularly, Verna, striking and somewhat impactful for me because I'm a native Washingtonian. I was born in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved in the statehood movement. In fact, the one that got the first ever vote for D.C. statehood in 1993. And a lot of us went to jail over that summer of 93, recreating the South African embassy demonstrations at the Capitol, going to jail every week, dumping tea. We were the original Tea Party, y'all, before the right-wing Tea Party, dumping tea on the steps of the Capitol to protest taxation without representation. And now to hear folks are coming back and attacking home rule, it is challenging. People are going in reverse in terms of a lot of things that have been accomplished. That's just a matter of fact. And so,
Mark, when I heard that the president was pressuring required that the Black Lives Matter logo be painted over in D.C. at the plaza downtown, it struck me as well. But then I heard that Mayor Bowser said that basically she's got bigger fish to fry and she could not allow that to be, sort of the hill we died on, because we know that this administration has targeted the population of Washington, D.C. All of that talk about, federal employees that are lazy and, sitting at home watching Netflix instead of working. That's really, shade on the residents of Washington, D.C. and the DMV. So, it is difficult to be a leader at this time. And I think one of the things that we need to perhaps try to guide is we know that there needs to be resistance to this moment. But I feel like there needs to be resistance, but there also we need to find a way to disrupt. And this is not a call to action. I'm just saying that's one of the things that needs to happen. There needs to be disruption. These legal cases that they have, they're like speed bumps. They're slowing them along the way, but ultimately they're going to end up at the Supreme Court. And we'll see how the court, we'll see what President, what's his name, Trump does. What he does as a result of the Supreme Court actually told him, no, you have to give that money back to U.S. AID. And if he basically gives the court the middle finger, and where are we? Who gonna check him, boo? You know, you know, because he's in charge of the military. That means we have slid into an autocracy.
Yes, yes, no question about it. And I'll be honest with you, in some of the discussions I've had with DC officials from a distance, I haven't said this, folks, I live in New York now. I moved to New York 15 years ago, but it feels like I never left DC. In fact, I'm headed down there this evening. Folks, we want to thank you for joining us on this maiden voyage of my being one of the collective hosts on What's at Stake. We want to thank our engineer, Michael Nasella, executive producer whose voice you're hearing, Vern Avery Brown. Folks, we want to invite you to stay tuned. Next is my dear friend and my attorney, Dr. Ife Williams, with Wake Up and Stay Woke. Thank you all very much. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Bob.
Please join the WPFW family as we celebrate the life of Larry Applebaum, longtime host of The Sound of Surprise. Friends, colleagues, and coworkers will gather to remember Larry and his tremendous contributions to WPFW, the Library of Congress, and the jazz world at large. Music will be provided by DC's own Paul Carr and friends. Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 2 p.m., at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please go to WPFWFM.org.
African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora is featured at the 21st New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 14 to the 27th. The festival features 29 films from 19 countries, discussions with filmmakers, and more. The 2025 New African Film Festival features the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa. Tickets and full schedule at AFI.com/silver. That's AFI.com/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Equal Portions is delighted to join Jazz and Justice Radio, WPFW, every Monday at 1 p.m. We're talking everything food justice, interviewing folks across all sectors, and playing the hottest new DMV music with your host, Seisha Lamira.
Hey, y'all. On Equal Portions, we'll be discussing all aspects of the way we interact with food, from the problems affecting our communities to the history and the story of the food around us and the local individuals within the food community. That's Equal Portions, Mondays at 1 p.m. on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Hola, mi gente. Soy Oscar Fernandez del Latino Media Collective en WPFW. Aquí para decirle a ustedes que todas las personas en los Estados Unidos tienen derechos independientemente de su estado migratorio, y conociendo nuestros derechos es el primer paso para mantenernos a distancia de las violaciones de nuestros derechos como ICE y otras fuerzas de orden. Por eso le presento una guía para proteger sus derechos. Número 1. Identifique los contactos de emergencia y memorice sus números. Número 2. Mantenga la calma si se acerca el ICE u otras fuerzas del orden. No corra, discuta, resista ni pelea. Número 3. Tenemos el derecho a permanecer en silencio. Número 4. Tiene derecho a hablar con un abogado y no firmar nada hasta que lo discuta con un abogado. Número 5. Si está en su casa, tiene derecho a negarse a entrar a menos que se le presente una orden judicial firmada por un juez. Una orden de ICE no permite la entrada a su casa. Y finalmente, número 6, usted tiene derecho a un intérprete. WPFW está aquí defendiendo los derechos humanos ganados con dificultad, construyendo un mundo más justo, transmisión a transmisión.